Hey everyone, welcome into another Dynasty Team Review this week here on South Harmon. I am Eric Vanek, and you can find me on Twitter at Eric Vanek NFL. And as always, joined by Koopa. Koopa, what's going on, buddy?
Not too much. Excited to get into a division that we have a lot of strong fandoms here in the South Harmon content creation team. And I'm sure when Mike and Fizzle listen to us break down their teams, they're gonna have some choice words for us potentially. Or if, you know, if we say the right things, they'll love us.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. This is gonna be the NFC East this week. Like you said, a lot of good teams in this division. A lot of teams that are pretty much in the playoffs all the time as well. So looking forward to getting this one started. And today we're gonna start with Fizzle's team, the Dallas Cowboys. So head coach Mike McCarthy, offensive coordinator is Brian Schottenheimer. Key players who left this offseason. So obviously Tony Pollard signed with the Titans. Michael Gallup went to the Raiders. Tyron Smith went to the Jets. And Tyler Badish went to the Washington following defensive coordinator Dan Quinn over there. Targets and vacated air yards. So they're losing 148 targets and 681 air yards. So nothing too crazy there. But quarterbacks, go ahead and start us off with the quarterbacks, Koopa.
Yeah, quarterback position, we've got Dak Prescott. I feel like a lot of people have been talking about him potentially being on like a hot seat or like not being there for the Cowboys next year. His PFF grade last year was 90, fourth out of the 38 quarterbacks that were eligible to be ranked. He's a really good quarterback. I don't see how the Cowboys could possibly think about letting him go. I mean, I get that he's getting up there in age a little bit. So like, okay, he's like 30 years old or something like that. So yeah, for dynasty fantasy purposes, like he's going to slowly start declining would be your guess, but he's still really darn good. And I think that a lot of people are just underestimating A, what Dak Prescott can do, and B, like just how good he is for the Cowboys and the fact that he will have a job next year. Like if the Cowboys don't re-sign him, he's going to his choice of landing spot, basically, because he's just that good. Almost every team's going to want him. Behind Dak Prescott, they have Cooper Rush and Trey Lance. Cooper Rush has been the backup there for many, many years. And then they traded for Trey Lance, I guess it was right before last season, for like a 6th-round pick or something. And Trey Lance, former number 3 overall pick, the 49ers traded 3 firsts to get him. He didn't really ever get a chance to play in San Francisco because he just, when it became his time to start, he just ended up getting hurt. So it's one of those things of we've just never really seen him. A lot of people still have that idea that he could be really good because he was that first round pick. He is a rushing quarterback, so for fantasy that would be really good. But we haven't really seen anything from him, and I am still not convinced that he necessarily beats out Cooper Rush for the backup job. Like Cooper Rush has been really good there for years. I almost feel like Cooper Rush is one of those guys that, like we've talked about with some of the other teams, where hey, they've got their backup quarterback that they like working with. I bet you Dak Prescott really likes working with Cooper Rush. So I would not be surprised to see that all three of these guys end up on the 53-man roster. That's what they ended up doing last year. And Dak Prescott, right now, he is quarterback 8 in fantasy rankings. I think that is pretty reasonable for him. And he's the kind of quarterback that you're going to want on your fantasy team, especially when you're talking about Superflex. And that is not representative of his current dynasty value. He is way lower than quarterback 8 right now, and so he's somebody that to me is like a screaming buy, and a lot of people have been saying that recently, that he's worth a lot more than he is in dynasty right now.
Right. Yeah, with Dak, I mean, I think a lot of it just has to do with the money that they're going to have to pay him. They're going to have to pay him $50, $60 million to keep him. Are they going to keep him? Does Jerry Jones and them want to pay him this money? They might not have a choice, honestly. Otherwise, if they don't go with Dak, I mean, they're going to have to either get one in the draft and they'd have to give up a ton to move up, or they're going to have to sign a free agent if somebody becomes available or whatnot, and pay him less than what Dak would have wanted. But that's going to be one of the biggest things this offseason and into the season. I mean, they got to pay CeeDee Lamb too. CeeDee Lamb isn't showing up to OTAs, and he wants a contract like Justin Jefferson just got. So, yeah, it's really interesting times here for Dallas. Running back. So the running back room turned over with Tony Pollard leaving. They brought back Zeke Elliott this offseason. His PFF grade last year was 67.6, which was 40th of 59. Rico Dowdle, who they had last year, who stayed healthy for a change, he was 43rd of 59th with a 66.6 PFF grade. They have Deuce Vaughn, who they drafted last year. Didn't really play very much, especially in the running back room, but he might have to this year. There is that report out that he's playing some slot receiver too, so we'll see how that works out. They did bring in Royce Freeman as well from the Rams this past season. He had a pretty decent couple games there for the Rams when it was Daryl Henderson and Freeman when Kyren Williams was out. Malik Davis is still there. He didn't really get to play last year, was just on their practice squad. But I thought he was a decent player, but, you know, they don't think so, obviously, if they kept him on the practice squad all the time and when they needed running back help last year. Snoop Connor is there. Never been really a big fan of Snoop Connor. And then they have Nathaniel Pete, a UDFA from Missouri this past season. So they kept three running backs and a fullback last year. They're probably going to do the same this year. I would probably expect Zeke, Dowdle, and Deuce Vaughn. I think Royce Freeman has a shot, too, but it depends on how they want to keep their roster this year. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like Ezekiel Elliott and Rico Dowdle are complete locks, and Deuce Vaughn is probably the closest thing to a lock after that. But what I also like Royce Freeman as a potential guy that could sneak in that last spot. And the only other guy that I'm even considering, and this would have to be a super deep league for me to roster him because I don't even have him rostered anywhere, but he's on like my watch list, is Nathaniel Pete. I just don't think Malik Davis or Snoop Connor have a shot. They've had multiple years, and in Snoop Connor's case, multiple teams to try and prove themselves to be useful, and they have both never been able to make it out of the being essentially a practice squad call up. Mm-hmm. So I'm fully into Ezekiel Elliott, Rico Dowdle split is essentially what I'm expecting, and then Deuce Vaughn is being the third guy if one of them goes down. This running back room is wide open, and it's probably honestly going to be one of those horrible splits where even if you know that, hey, I've got Ezekiel Elliott and Rico Dowdle that have made the team, I'm not sure I'm going to really want either of these guys. Like, I'd much rather have that backup running back that is playing for 2 weeks and the heavy workload starter is down. Like, that guy is probably going to put up more fantasy points than Ezekiel Elliott and Rico Dowdle. And you see that right now in fantasy projections. Ezekiel Elliott's running back 36, Rico Dowdle's running back 48. That pegs Ezekiel Elliott as a flex-type player, and Rico Dowdle potentially not even making your flex. And so that's just not really what I'm looking to invest in a running back room. And so you're just going to have to... If there are injuries and maybe Ezekiel Elliott looks really bad, Rico Dowdle gets hurt, okay, now maybe somebody like a Royce Freeman can come in and get a large workload or something. But I just don't necessarily see that happening either.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how those running backs work out. I kind of like Zeke because he is a little bit cheaper right now, but we'll see how that one goes. So let's go over to the wide receivers now. So CeeDee Lamb, his PFF grade last year was 90.9. He was a 6th out of 128. Brandon Cooks, he was a 68.8 last year, 55th of 128. He's our wide receiver 2. Jalen Tolbert's going to get his shot this year as a wide receiver 3. So his PFF grade last year was 56.5, 103 of 128. They also have Kevontae Turpin, Jalen Brooks, a 2023 seventh round pick, Ryan Flournoy, who they drafted in the 6th round this year, David Durden, a 2023 UDFA, Jalen Cropper, a 2023 UDFA, Racy McMath, Tyron Billy Johnson, Cam Johnson, and Corey Crooms, a shitload of bunch of guys that are clogging rosters that you'll never want to carry. But they kept six guys last year on their initial 53. I would assume CeeDee Lamb, Cooks, Tolbert, and Turpin are probably locks. After that, it's going to be wide open. I would give a leg up to Flournoy just because they did draft him. Jalen Brooks, they did draft last year as well. So I'd probably put like those six as my top guys, but I wouldn't put it past one of these UDFAs sneaking in. It seems like Dallas always has a UDFA that always sneaks in there. They had Noah Brown a couple years ago. A couple other guys have come in from UDFAs as well. So what's your initial thoughts here on these wide receivers?
Yeah, I'm 100% with you on CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb is wide receiver one in fantasy right now. If you don't know who he is, you have not been playing fantasy very long. Brandon Cooks, he's a solid number two for the Cowboys. For fantasy, though, he's all the way down at wide receiver 55. I mean, that ends up putting him just outside of even being flexible. He's probably one of the top wide receivers that you'd have on your bench, which is honestly not a great spot for the number two wide receiver on this team from a fantasy sense. And then you start looking down the list and it's Jalen Tolbert. Like, he's getting an opportunity to be the third wide receiver, but realistically, have we ever wanted the Cowboys' third wide receiver? I haven't seen that in years. Kevontae Turpin, the only reason you potentially want him is just because he kick and punt returns. You start looking down this list, it's like, I want CeeDee Lamb because he's wide receiver one overall, and maybe Brandon Cooks, and everyone else I don't really care about too much. It's just a matter of if something horrible were to happen, CeeDee Lamb gets hurt, like, now who's taking the step up? Because this team is very pass focused we just went through how bad this running back room is. So if they were to continue to stick with the pass, somebody would have to step up. Somebody's at least getting an opportunity, but I'm still not sure that I trust any of these guys to be someone that I would still want to plug into my fantasy team.
I mean, I don't trust Tolbert necessarily, but I think he has the first shot. So I'm willing to roster Tolbert in best ball leagues. Lineup leagues, probably not. I'll just let it go. If he's going to beat me, he's going to beat me. But I think best balls, Jalen Tolbert is definitely worth having on your team right now. Quick look at Flournoy before we moved on. Overall, Flournoy is more athletic than skilled as a route runner, and cornerbacks stick to him at the breakpoint. But he has large, accepting hands with balance and body control before and during and after the catch. He projects as an NFL rotational receiver who can earn playing time with further development. Tight end. So Jake Ferguson is still here. PFF grade last year, 74.5. He was 10th of 72. Luke Schoonmaker, who they drafted last year in round two, rough rookie year, 49.8 was his PFF grade, which was 61st of 72 at tight ends. Peyton Hendershot, a UDFA from a couple years ago, still sticking around. John Stevens Jr., 2023 UDFA. Princeton Fant, 2023 UDFA. Brevin Spanford, who they picked up as a UDFA from Minnesota, who's pretty athletic. I liked his tape. I wouldn't be shocked if he makes some noise during training camps and preseason games. And Alec Holler, a 2024 UDFA, also from Central Florida. They kept three on their 53 last year, so that was probably Ferguson, Schoonmaker, and Hendershot. I would think Spanford has a shot to, you know, compete with Hendershot for that third tight end spot. So that's one I'll be watching in camp. But honestly, none of these guys are really worth rostering right now outside of like 90-man roster leagues or something crazy. But yeah, Ferguson, Schoonmaker, and Hendershot I'd probably give as my three that make the team. How about you?
Yeah, Ferguson, obviously he's going to make it. I mean, he's tight end 9 for fantasy for this upcoming season. He's a guy that we've seen. Dak Prescott loves to throw it to his tight ends. I mean, we've seen that with the Cowboys over history, really. They love to throw to their tight ends, and Ferguson's just the top tight end in Dallas right now. Schoonmaker, I fully expect that he's going to probably do better this upcoming year. I mean, he didn't really have a great offseason because he was still recovering from, I think it was that knee injury or something like that. So hopefully he has a better offseason leading up to this season. Maybe he can show improvement in year two. But Peyton Hendershot was, I thought he had the opportunity before Jake Ferguson broke out to be, hey, Peyton Hendershot's the guy that's going to take the opportunity and become the number one tight end. And that just never materialized. And so he might be the tight end three, but he also could be usurped by one of these other guys. And I agree with you. Brevin Spanford is probably the guy that if I had to take a guess as to which one would take it over Peyton Hendershot, I would go for Brevin Spanford.
Yep. Offensive line. So last year, this unit ranked eighth, and they've lost a couple players off of that offensive line this year. So let's take a look at who they got. So in first round this year, they drafted Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. Some highlights on him. Overall, Guyton is a work in progress in several areas, and a steep learning curve should be expected for his rookie season. But he has the athletic tools and fundamental skills to develop into a high-level offensive tackle. He has the talent to play left or right tackle, although his comfort level is clearly on the right side. As long as he stays motivated and healthy, he will continue on an upward trajectory. So this is going to be a lot to put on this young kid to start at left tackle for the Dallas Cowboys on day one. So we'll see how that works out. They brought in Chuma Adoga, a PFF grade last year of 61.4. He was 54th of 81, is his current backup. Tyler Smith is our left guard. His PFF grade last year was 74.4, which was 11th of 79. His backup is TJ Bass. Center is Brock Hoffman listed right now, but the backup is Cooper Beebe, who they drafted in the third round. I think Beebe definitely has a shot to be a starter this year at center, so some highlights on him. Overall, Beebe doesn't have ideal arm length, but that most teams desire, but he is stout, controlled, and plays with power at contact. He will fit both gap and zone schemes in the NFL and projects as a high-floor starting guard. So he has guard and center potential. Obviously, he's not going to start at guard on this team with Tyler Smith and Zach Martin at guards, but he has a really good shot there to start at center this year for them, I think. Obviously, the right guard, I mentioned Zach Martin. His PFF grade last year wasn't as good as it's been in the past, 68. 18th of 79 among guards, but Zach Martin's always been a Pro Bowl level caliber guard in the NFL. He's definitely getting up there in age, though, so maybe he's starting to decline a little bit. Backup is Asim Richards, a 2023 fifth round pick. And then their right tackle is Terrence Steele. His PFF grade last year was 52.3, 69th of 81. So that has to improve for them this year. And his backup is Matt Walzetsko. Kick returners and punt returners are pretty easy. Go ahead with those, Koopa.
Yeah, Kevontae Turpin's been doing it for Dallas, and he's done a really good job there. So I fully expect Kevontae Turpin's going to be back there as a punt returner and as the kick returner. If they need a second kick returner, which they probably do with the new kick return rules, I wouldn't be surprised to see it be a camp battle between a bunch of different people. And Deuce Vaughn would be the guy that probably has a leg up, but realistically, just kind of look out and see if they are who's going back there with Turpin when they're doing their kickoff practice or things like that, because he definitely has the leg up. I would be very shocked to see that Kevontae Turpin is not back there week one.
So overall fantasy thoughts here on Dallas. I think you said it a little bit earlier. This team's going to have to pass quite a bit this year. So I expect Dak to be, if he's rated eighth right now, I expect him to probably be in the top eight still. He's going to have CeeDee Lamb. As long as CeeDee Lamb doesn't hold out like all preseason and training camp and all that, I think Lamb should still be a top five wide receiver. I know right now in dynasty draft or redrafts, he's going as wide receiver one usually. He goes like pick two, pick three usually in most of these drafts. And that's just a lot of based off of last year. I mean, I could easily put just Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill above him. And that's kind of where I would lean. I would put CeeDee Lamb maybe at like three or four. I think Jamar Chase is going to have a really good season. I think Tyreek Hill would probably be my wide receiver one going into the season. So we'll see what CeeDee Lamb can do. Cooks is very undervalued right now. Nobody wants Cooks, but if this team's going to throw so much, they lost Gallup, so they don't really have that another veteran. I think Brandon Cooks is in for a big season. Jake Ferguson should probably get a little bit more work as well. And then, you know, Zeke is steady, man. He's going to be a solid RB2 for you, or if you can get him as a flex, he's probably going to be in your flex spot every single week. So he's going to have 8 to 10 touchdowns. They're going to run the ball. They're going to give it to Zeke on the goal line. So that's kind of where I'm at with Dallas. How about you, Kuba?
I'm kind of in a similar boat. Obviously, Dak Prescott, QB8, you want that. CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver 1, you want that. I literally want CeeDee Lamb all the... Like, even if his holdout goes into the season, like, I still want CeeDee Lamb because he's just that good. But Jake Ferguson, you want him. It really comes down to the running backs and, like, how many receivers you want to go to. So, like, Brandon Cooks, he is technically outside of that wide receiver 50 threshold if you're trying to talk about threshold wide receivers. But also, Brandon Cooks is within the wide receiver 60. So if you have, say, like a 12-team start 9, maybe you don't want Brandon Cooks. But if you have a 12-team start 11, you probably do. So it just entirely has to... He's, like, right on that fringe of... If you're playing strictly by that wide receiver threshold, he's either just in or just out. And then the running back position, it's just... It's going to be one of those gambles. Like, you almost... want to see somebody get hurt just so that way all the work goes to one person, but obviously you never want to wish injuries on anybody. But in general, I would feel confident if you're playing a full, like, essentially zero running back strategy of, okay, I'll roll into week 1 with Ezekiel Elliott as my running back 1. And if you have a ton of backups, like, you'll know you'll be able to replace Ezekiel Elliott with probably better running backs that are getting spot starts for you, things like that, as the season goes. But making it so that way, at least at the beginning of the year, you only have to fill one running back slot as opposed to two can give you a good boost to your team. And it's not that expensive to get Ezekiel Elliott either, just because he is so old. You can probably go out and send a third round pick for him and anybody will accept it. So, like, it's one of those things where if you're sitting there, you have a competitive roster except for running back. Like, Ezekiel Elliott's not a bad guy to just go and get and just fill at least one of those running back slots.
Yep, I agree with that. All right, that is going to be it on this one for the Dallas Cowboys. We will see you next with the New York Giants.